step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, guys. Here with you today with podcast number 6 since the start of my site, DavidDemand2.com. And today our guest is going to be The Looch, who you can follow on Twitter at exactly that. His handle is The Looch, L-O-O-C-H. Just like my last guest, Skating Tripods, he's in that, you know, 1,200, 1,300 follower range, criminally underfollowed for the knowledge that this guy has. He's a great resource. He's an excellent follow, and he's someone, if you don't follow already, I highly suggest that you do so, because he's sharp, he's on top of his stuff, and plenty of good content there if you go ahead and give him a follow. Today, what we're going to do with The Looch is kind of switch gears a little bit and talk mostly about DFS. And for those of you who don't know or aren't familiar, that stands for Daily Fantasy Sports. And that is growing and growing and growing every time you turn around. I've begun to dabble with it a little bit this year. Most people that I follow on my timeline who, you know, I followed for the reasons of handicapping and trying to pick their brains and learn from what they do handicapping have also seemed to branch into DFS. And it's catching like wildfire. There's a lot of you out there that I know play. And, you know, we're going to pick The Looch's brain a little bit here today. He's going to give us all kinds of information. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce The Looch and give him a couple seconds to kind of introduce himself, and then we'll jump right into some questions. So, Looch, I want to thank you again for coming on, and the floor is yours, man. Briefly introduce yourself to the people here for a second.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Yeah, I'm originally from New Jersey, and but I've been out in California now for like almost 20 years. yeah, formerly a poker player, and I guess that kind of translates into DFS a little bit. I feel like there's quite a few guys who following the, I guess, Black Friday or I don't know, I forget what it's called, but when they kind of outlawed online poker. I think a lot of guys kind of, you know, found a new home in daily fantasy sports to, I guess, nurse that itch that they have. So, yeah, it kind of flows right into that pretty well.
Right, and you mentioned that. Sorry not to cut you off real quick, but you're right. I mean, poker players and gamblers, it feels like for years, you know, we're one and the same. If you did one, the overwhelming odds were that you did the other. And now, like you said, with poker in some places getting tougher and tougher to do, the transition over to DFS was kind of an obvious one. And like you said, you've excelled in the DFS world, kind of coming over from the poker world. So that's very cool. And we're going to get right to it, man. I'm going to start picking your brain here right now and jump right into it. As far as lineup construction, and I know there's so many different ways to go about that. As far as, you know, do you look at right-handed splits, left-handed splits, you know, home ballpark, batter versus pitcher, weather, you know, wind blowing, things like that, you know, superstars, you know, scrubs, mixing in middle players, whatever you want to do. The floor is yours for whatever you want to give us. I mean, what's going through your mind when you sit down and start piecing together your lineups?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's so many different stats that you can look at. I mean, I think we'll just focus on baseball. I mean, I do all four, you know, I do all the major sports. And up until recently, I even did the college football. So, yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, you have to have you have to have a good appreciation for the statistics and, you know, being able to analyze them. For baseball specifically, you know, I'm more of a cash game player. And kind of what that means is that, you know, I focus on your head-to-head league, you know, your 50-50s, basically your kind of low risk, low reward. You only need to kind of finish in the top 50% of leagues to make money, you know, versus the tournament, otherwise known as the GPPs, where, you know, you could put in 5, 10, 20 bucks, and then maybe you could win, you know, 10 grand, 20 grand, you know, if you get real lucky. But those are pretty hard to, you know, to make a lot of money. And so I tend to focus on the cash games. And I'd say, you know, from the mainstays, the primary thing I focus on is pitching first and foremost. You know, that's your most expensive part of your, you know, your lineup construction. And you want to pick a top-notch pitcher, you know, who you feel is in a good position to either win or rack up a bunch of strikeouts and, you know, not give up a lot of runs. So, you know, if you go with a, you know, a lesser-known pitcher, you know, a middle-tier guy, I mean, you run into the possibility that he has a bad night, and then you're really, you know, you're really behind the eight ball. Because then you really need your hitters to, you know, start popping home runs and, you know, multi-hit games and things like that to try to make up for that. So I say that's kind of the primary, you know, piece that I focus on when I'm building my lineups.
Okay. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the difference kind of between, for lack of a better way to put it, almost, you know, lottery style DFS, where, like you said, you can throw in $5 or $10 and compete with thousands of people and hope for the best, where realistically you're pretty much just donating that money, as opposed to, you know, you're not going to get rich, you know, with the 50-50s and the head-to-heads, but you can grind it out. If you're consistent, if you're solid, you can grind out some profit day after day, week after week, and, you know, build the bankroll like that, rather than just swinging for the fence, you know, trying to hit that 500-footer every day, you know, but more realistically kind of just bleeding out little by little. So that's important that you brought that up, and I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and you could tread water, too, and kind of, you know, live to fight another day and then, you know, put yourself in a position to where one day, you know, you hit a tournament, you know. But you can't do that if you don't have, like, a bankroll to work with, if you're constantly bleeding your bankroll dry. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with sports capping. If you're constantly playing parlays, you know, you're going to be in a tough spot
right.
If you don't hit. So,
right, yes.
It draws some parallels with the sports capping world, and I find, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
No, and I was just going to say real quick, as far as the pitching, you know, you mentioned that, and I, you know, I'm still a novice. I'm still learning as I go. So, you know, as you're speaking, not only are you giving tips to our audience, but to myself as well. So you're basically saying if there's a Kershaw, if there's a Strasburg, a Scherzer, you know, a Jose Fernandez, a guy like that on the mound, but let's say you also have, you know, whatever, it's the Diamondbacks and the Rockies in Coors Field. You're saying go over there to the Dodgers game, get Kershaw, pay up for him, and if that means you can't get, you know, a Goldschmidt or an Arenado, you know, or somebody like that, a Trevor Story, whatever, you know, it basically if you have to pick, you know, you're not going to swing all those guys on a day when Kershaw's pitching. You're saying find other options, you know, you don't have to have Arenado or Goldschmidt or whatever, but get Kershaw, get your pitching studs, and then figure out other ways to go about it as far as your position players.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm consistently surprised on every day that Kershaw pitches, you know, how he's not, like, just 100% owned in the cash lineup. I mean, the guy is just unreal. I mean, he's on a different level, even than, you know, even than, like, a Scherzer or Arrieta. So, yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, today's a great example. You've got a Coors game, and all the players are priced up accordingly because they're in the park, and these sites, you know, build that into their system, you know, where they price up a guy like, you know, Corey Dickerson, who's former Rocky, actually, but he's kind of struggled with the Rays, and he's, like, one of the highest-priced hitters just because he's in Coors Field. And, you know, he's a great play, but
right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to come through. Whereas a guy like Kershaw,
right.
You know, Scherzer, I mean, they're going to come through almost, you know, regularly. I mean, it's almost uncanny how they're able to do it. But, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's the game, you know, for the cash lineup. And kind of the reverse can be true for, you know, your tournament lineup. You might want to go with a guy like, you know, Mike Leake, for example, who, you know, had like a double-digit strikeout game versus the Padres the other day. But he's cheap because typically he doesn't do that. And so, you know, you got to try to find those guys, those cheap guys, so you can afford, you know, the big bats. And, you know, that's how you kind of really, you know, reach those big scores. It's tough to do.
Right, because I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would assume in tournament play, you know, if you're going to cash or if you're going to even win, you know, take first place in one of these multi-thousand entry tournaments, you've got to do something to stand out from the crowd. You're not going to get there with the cookie-cutter lineup taking basically the most popular players across the board. Because, you know, if those guys go off, great, you've done well, but so have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people. You're going to need somebody a little off the beaten path. Like you said, a Mike Leake stumbles into a double-digit strikeout game last night or something like that. You're going to need, you know, one of these guys who's owned probably by less than 1% of the entries or even a couple of those guys on your lineup going off if you're realistically going to cash one of these things, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, either that or, you know, you're paying for a top-notch pitcher, and then you got to find some cheap batter who, you know, hits his first home run, you know, of his career, like who hit his
Jared
first
Dyson.
Home run of his career? Jared Dyson
had that grand slam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
first
yeah,
of the
I
year.
Mean, of course, because, you know, I had a bet on the Indian money line there. It was looking great. You know, Kluber just cruised.
Oh, God.
Through seven innings, and then, you know, the rest is history, right?
Yeah, last night was one of those rough ones. If you had, you know, the Indians with Kluber, seven shutout innings, and then a couple hours later, the White Sox with Chris Sale, eight shutout innings, and, you know, the bullpen squander both of those. That's pretty rough. You know, in the DFS world, like you said, if you pay up for Sale or Kluber, and they still perform, but you're kind of robbed those extra bonus points from the win there with the bullpen hanging about to dry.
So,
yeah, man, I'm going to jump over real quick. As far as your hitters, and you went into a little bit of detail about pay-ups for the studs pitching-wise, and that completely makes sense. Hitting-wise, that there are so many different theories, like I said in the beginning of the show, as far as how you attack that. I mean, ballpark is obviously one of them, you know, Coors Field, but those guys are priced up. You know, Chase Field is a good hitter's park. There's others that we all know. But when you're looking at that, other than the obvious, which is ballpark, as far as starting pitching, are you looking more so at head-to-head stats? You know, like, oh, this guy is, you know, 6-for-18, whatever, career against him. Or are you looking more at this is what he hits against righties, this is what he hits against lefties? Like, what's kind of your bread and butter there?
Well, I mean, I say for any baseball aficionado or, you know, anyone who really loves the game, I really recommend a book by the guy by the name of Tom Tango and Michael Lichtman, I believe. It's called The Book, Playing the Percentages in Baseball. And they go through, like, all the math behind a lot of this stuff, and they talk about the lefty-righty splits as being kind of the most predictive stat. I mean, you can look at a number of different things. Oh, so-and-so is, you know, hitting, you know, 350 over his last 15 games, or, you know, so-and-so is, you know, hitting 400 versus this pitcher. But those are all, like, really small samples. I mean, that's, not the whole subset of a hitter. I mean, you can, I mean, every hitter, I mean, even Mike Trout goes through, you know, rough patch. It doesn't mean all of a sudden that he's not Mike Trout. You know, it just means that, hey, I mean, maybe he faced a bunch of really good pitchers. Maybe, you know, he crushed some balls to the warning track and they got caught. You know, hit some line drives right at guys. So, you know, it's easy to kind of get caught up in those small samples and, you know, make some poor decisions. You know, what I try to look at is like the larger picture. You know, like say 2 to 3 years of, you know, a hitter, and that is more of what I'm going to gauge for a hitter. So, yeah, if a guy over, you know, a couple hundred plate appearances hits lefties at a really high clip, then I'm gonna focus on that guy. Let's say I want him to be, you know, in the top five, usually in the lineup. I mean, lineup position to me is really, really important because just over the long run, I mean, those are the players who are going to, you know, be more productive because they have other hitters around them who are usually pretty good, whereas the guys like 7, 8, 9, you know, they got the pitcher coming up behind them, or they got, you know, some light hitting shortstop or light hitting catcher, and you know they're just not going to have the same number of RBI opportunities, run scoring opportunities that you need to put up those points. So I mean, you see this really common. I mean, you play for a while, you see how people jump on leadoff guys or guys in the two hole, you know, cheap guys that are hitting atop the lineup. Like a Billy Hamilton's like a good example because, you know, for most of the season, he was hitting ninth because, well, he's just not a very good hitter. So
right,
recently,
right.
He's moved up to the two spot. He's hitting in front of Joey Votto, and that's like a much, much better place to hit. So all of a sudden, you know, you see him owned, his ownership percentage goes way up because of that. So, I mean, that's one of the biggest, I think, you know, pieces of advice I can give, like, new players is really emulate the other top-notch players. If you see players who are consistently winning, look at their lineups, look at how they put things together, and kind of, you know, the best, what's that saying, you know, the best, something about flattery, you know. God, man. Oh, my God.
Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
Yes, thank you. You got my back.
I'm all over it, man. I gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, so many guys, I feel like, trying to reinvent the wheel, you know, they think they know everything about sports, and they think they know everything about, you know, this guy or that guy, and then they get in there, and they get their butt kicked, you know, because
they're getting too creative, they're outthinking themselves.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that have been doing this since the beginning of DFS, or, you know, they have all kinds of fancy spreadsheets, you know, maybe they have a background in finance, and they kind of, you know, understand all these principles. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a tough curve. It's a tough curve.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did mention lineup position, you know, for a couple reasons. Obviously, as you mentioned, you're hitting toward the top of the order, you're more likely to be, well, not more likely to be, you are going to be surrounded by better hitters, both in front of you, you know, that you could potentially knock in when you come up, and behind you that can knock you in if you reach base. That's the obvious, and not only that, I mean, again, obvious but still worth pointing out, depending on where that batting lineup ends in any particular game, whatever, you know, the five hitter makes the last out, the six hitter makes the last out, you know, that's one additional plate appearance if you're at the top of the order, as opposed to if you're batting seventh or eighth. You know, as well as I, you know, it's not equal plate appearances for everybody in the lineup, you know, unless it just so happens to end with that last out being made by the nine spot. You know, there's a good chance those top of the lineup hitters are getting one extra plate appearance, and that's obviously crucial.
Especially on the road too, you know, guys on the road, you know, they always get the bat in the ninth. The guys who are at home, you know, don't. Not, that's kind of a small little nuance, definitely something to consider.
Right. One other thing I wanted to ask you, because I know there's people out there listening right now, and they're wondering, and they're loving the knowledge you're giving them, but they're thinking, Luch, you know, give me a guy, an under-the-radar pitcher, if it's one of these days where there isn't a Kershaw or there isn't a Jose Fernandez or a Strasburg or a Scherzer. It's one of those days where seemingly every pitcher is a, you know, a three or a four in their given rotation. Are there any guys like that that you want to tell our listeners maybe to keep an eye on in the second half that will be priced reasonably, that they can get cheaply, they won't be very highly owned, yet you think there's a chance for a little bit of a breakout in the second half?
There's always guys. A lot of it is kind of a day-to-day thing you have to look
matchup
at.
Matchup dependent,
you know,
of course.
Yeah, you look at the matchups and, the park factor. Maybe you look at the umpire behind home plate. There's a guy who, just got called up recently for the Reds. So tomorrow, Anthony DeSclafani, he just kind of got called up. He was terrible last year. He had a really bad year, but he's a young guy, and young pitchers aren't necessarily going to struggle forever. I mean, some of them are going to get better. Some of them are going to get worse, and they're not going to be back up at the majors. But he's a guy so far
right.
who pitched well, and he's at home. Versus the Braves, who are, possibly the worst hitting team in the league.
Right.
He's a guy who should still be priced reasonably, but could provide, good value on his price tag.
Right.
There's a lot of guys that, I'd say guys that get called up. I think later on in the season, we're kind of a little bit past the halfway point. Maybe guys who are a little,
right.
more, a little bit more fresher because, they haven't pitched as many innings. They get called up. They kind of have, a little bit more in the tank. You might want to look at those guys.
There's one thing I want to ask you about, and I almost forgot, but I want to hit this. We got about 8 minutes to go. I want to make sure I get to this. Do you look when you're looking at pitchers and you have aces, and I'll kind of go back to the National League West because the team I'm going to ask you about plays in the West, and they'll be facing the Bumgarners and the Kershaws and guys like
uh-huh.
that. As far as team splits, and that's the Padres. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but weighted runs created plus, the Padres are actually the number one lineup in baseball. Whereas against right-handers, I think they're like 28th. As a DFS player who's, getting in there and playing regularly, is that something you put a lot of weight into? Do you kind of chalk it up as an anomaly? Do you maybe shy away from lefties against the Padres? Or is there maybe not enough data there for you to be totally sold that they really do match them as well as the numbers claim that they do?
No, Padres, no doubt about it. I mean, they've kind of done their offense has been a lot better as a whole, in the last month or so than it was towards the beginning of the season. And yeah, they've been mashing lefties, and a lot of that has to do with Will Myers kind of having a breakout season. I mean, I'm not sure how else you can put it. I mean, the guy's been, just a flat out stud. I actually went to the Dodgers versus Padres game. A couple Fridays ago, shout out to DraftKings for kind of hooking me up there, actually. And Melvin Upton hit like two bombs, stole a base. I mean, they beat Kazmir up. I mean, he had nothing. I mean, they chased him after three innings. And, I mean, he's a good pitcher. He's been solid the whole year. So, yeah,
right.
The Padres, they kind of fly under the radar a little bit because they're kind of, it's kind of been like the whipping boys of the National League a little bit over the last few years. The park isn't very good to hit in. Their lineup, hasn't been very productive. So, I think that's a good call right there. And then the flip side, you can even go a step further. Maybe you pick a few of those guys for tournament play because, other people might not look at that because they kind of dismiss them and they're like, Matt Kemp, he's not as good anymore. They've been pretty solid. They've been pretty solid, 1, 2, 3, 4 versus lefties.
Right. I, because I feel like a mistake that some people can make is kind of lumping the Padres offense into a hole. And when you look at it on the whole, it's not very impressive. Like I said, they're 28th or 29th against righties, and obviously there are more at-bats against right-handers than against left-handers. So when you throw it all together, I want to say they're like 18th or 19th in the league in weighted runs created plus altogether. So when you just look at that and only that, you think, oh, yeah, it's the Padres with their below-average offense. You know, that doesn't interest me. It's only when you dig into the numbers a little deeper you realize, like, wait, you know, this is an absolutely horrid offense against right-handers, you know, but against lefties, there's maybe a chance to do a few things. So, you know, that kind of follows up what you were saying earlier about splits. You can't ignore the splits. You've got to give those a look.
Yeah, I think it was last Friday the 15th, which was the first game back out of the All-Star break. Baumgartner, who, I mean, is you know, probably, you know, one of the best pitchers in the National League. You know, he was on the road at the Padres, nice park, great strikeout pitcher. And, I shied away from him. I mean, you know, some of the numbers said to pick him. And I'm just like, you know, I don't have a good feeling about this. And, you know, sure enough, I mean, he actually lost the game 4-1. You know, he did okay, but he gave up 4 earned runs. You know, he only went 6 innings. So, you know, he probably didn't win anybody a tournament that night.
Right.
Yeah.
And I assume he was very expensive.
Yeah, no, he's always very expensive. And then I think the other thing, you know, that you can look at in the National League West, and, you know, one of the things I feel like we're always best at kind of observing is about the teams that are close to us. We follow them more. We kind of have a bit of a feel for them a little bit more. So for me, I mean, I'm in L.A., so that would be the Dodgers, who you know, have kind of an underrated season offensively. You know, last year they were a lot better offensively, and this year they're – you know, they've kind of been sluggish getting out of the gate, you know, but I like them to hit better in the second half. I think I would look for them to put up more runs in the second half. You know, one of the guys, I think you asked me about, like, underrated hitter, and this is probably a hitter who maybe a forgotten player, but Howie Kendrick, who really had just an awful, like, first 2 months. I mean, he had, he was hitting .224. Like with the .299 slug, you know, with the first 2 months. I mean, just terrible numbers. And then, you know, now he's up to, you know, .270, .374. I mean, more respectable. Not, you know, he's not killing it, but he's a guy who, you know, who I've kind of seen for many years because I live out here in L.A. He played for the Angels. He's just always been a solid, you know, solid line drive hitter. Not a ton of pop, but a little power. And, you know, he's been putting together, you know, some good games lately. So I'd look at him as, you know, he'd be kind of a building block of, like, versus a lefty, for example. He'd be a good building block, you know, at second base, if you get him at second base.
I agree with you. I don't have his exact career numbers in front of me, but, I mean, I know this is a guy who's been in the league roughly a decade now. And I want to say when watching a Dodger game, you know, at some point in the last couple of weeks, you know, it might have been Vin Scully or maybe it was a, you know, road announcer. I had the road broadcast on. But I don't think Kendrick has ever ended a season with a batting average below .280. So this isn't a guy who all of a sudden sucks. You know, he had a little bit of a rough patch, a little bit of a slow start. But this is a guy who can still hit. And as, you know, as that bat warms up, he moves up in the lineup. I've been noticing a lot. He leads off a little bit. He's been in the 2-hole. He's been in the 5-hole. And, you know, Dave Roberts is noticing that bat's warming up. So he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, you got to put you under the gun here, man.
I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't want to cut you off. But we're down to about a minute left. I want to ask you real quick. We didn't get a chance to really shift into non-DFS baseball, but if you had to give me maybe one team National League, one team American League that you think is going to make a run in the second half and possibly do some damage in the playoffs, one team in each league, who do you got?
I think in the National League, I think the Pirates I think the Pirates can do better than they have. I mean, you know, I think their offense, you know, can play better. I mean, they were just amazing last year. You know, we'll have to see if some of the pitching, some of these young guys, if they can give them a boost. You know, I think they could make a run. Like I said, I think the Dodgers can play better. You know, a lot of that depends on Kershaw getting back. American League, I think you and I agree that the Rangers are probably overrated. And I think the Astros
can
probably give them a run. You know, the Mariners, too. You know, the Mariners, you know, played really well to early on. They kind of struggled a bit. But, you know, if they get Felix back, Taiwan Walker, you know, some of these pieces, you know, I think I could see the Mariners, you know, taking a step there.
Right. You know what? Some good news here. I forgot that this thing will overlap a little bit, and it will let us go a couple minutes past the 30. So I did, unfortunately, kind of interrupt you after I talked about Howie Kendrick for a minute. I feel like you wanted to follow up there. So now is the chance for you to do so. If you have anything else on Howie or the Dodgers, I didn't mean to cut you off earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of a general thing. You know, if you know, you have to look at, you know, these guys' career numbers and, you know, how they performed, and, you know, don't take the first half at first at face value, basically. You know, look for some bounce back out of these players. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is another guy. I mean, I feel like the Dodgers have like three or four guys who have underperformed. I mean, Agon's been one of the most consistent first basemen, you know, in all of baseball for, I mean, you know, as long as you can remember. So, you know, just generally, if you can kind of look at that kind of on a larger level, you can apply that to sports capping, and then you can apply that to daily fantasy. I think you're doing yourself a good favor if you can kind of wrap your head around that.
Right. All right, I got one more thing for you. Like I said, we got a couple bonus minutes I didn't account for, so I'm going to run with it and pick your brain a little
Lightning
bit
round.
More.
Lightning round.
Absolutely, man. Kind of the other side of that coin, like you said, a guy like Howie Kendrick has been around so long and he's proven he can do it, all of a sudden, you know, isn't going to suck and expect, you know, some regression toward his career norms, you know, where he's going to improve, which makes me wonder, and I can't help but wonder, a few guys who up until this year have never really had any success. And I'm going to give you one guy out of each league, and you tell me if you think they can keep doing damage in the second half, or if you think reality is going to kind of jump up and, you know, slap them around a little bit. I'll give you both the names now, and you can, you know, run with both. But I'm looking American League. I'm looking at Jackie Bradley Jr. And in the National League, I'm looking at Adam Duvall. What do you think of those two?
Oh, wow.
can they keep
Duvall
it up, or
actually,
is it kind of fool's gold?
Yeah, Duvall, I picked for the home run derby. I thought he was a long shot play, but I thought that maybe he could kind of steal the show, and he did. He did really good. I mean, but you know, Todd Frazier was a little too much for him. I think Duvall is going to keep it up. I don't know if he's going to hit as many home runs, but I mean, he's got a perfect kind of home run swing, and in that park there, you know, I think he'll still continue to do well. I'd have to kind of, you know, look under the hood. You know, I'm like a total stats nerd. So,
right.
You know, I'm going to look at exit velocity, launch angle, you know, status, you know, BABIP, you know, batting average and balls in play and stuff like that. But
right.
From what I know of him, you know, I think he's pretty legit. Jackie Bradley's kind of already fallen off a little bit. I mean, he was kind of on a power surge to start the year, and, you know, he's still getting his base hits, you know, here and there. But I don't know. I think if I had to bet on one, it might be Duvall, just because, you know, Bradley kind of has a longer history of you know, just being a little bit more, I don't know. I don't want to say mediocre because, I mean, I think he's definitely taken another step. But, yeah, I'm not sure if he can keep up the power numbers.
Right. Whereas, like you said, a guy like Duvall, especially in the DFS format, you know, even if he happens to go, whatever, 1-for-4, 1-for-5, if that one happens to be a home run, you know, that's obviously going to stretch a little further than, you know, maybe a guy like Bradley if he finds his way to some more, you know, 1-for-3s or 2-for-4s, whatever, but he's slapping singles around. Duvall still may give you a little more upside, you know, with those home runs compared to Bradley, where if the power drops, you know, a lot of that DFS value he had early in the year probably goes away with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's crazy, like, now with, like, you know, all the new data. I mean, when I first started playing Daily Fantasy, we didn't have exit velocity. We didn't have launch angle. You know, I mean, not a lot of guys knew
right.
the favorite. But, I mean, there's so many advanced stats you can look at, and we're kind of still in the infancy of it. So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot to learn, and it's fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun, you know, even if you're not playing for, you know, $1,000 every day, I mean, it's a lot of fun to be able to play with the numbers, you know, look at things, being able to make your own predictions about guys. So, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing I'd say. Just have fun with it, you know, for new players. And, yeah, it's like kind of learning a new, learning a new skill.
Absolutely. Like you said, this is coming on. It's getting bigger and bigger. It's not going anywhere. It's growing in popularity all the time. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, you know, people who, when I first started following them, had no interest in DFS at all, are now talking about it almost just as much as their plays, you know, in the handicapping world and the sports betting world. So, you know, this is trending up, and I'm starting to dabble with it. I know many of you listening are, and, you know, I hope those of you who listen learned a thing or two today. I know I did. I mean, as this thing is going, I'm, you know, feeling like running down and scribbling notes as we go. Luch, now I'm going to cut you loose, man. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you taking the time. I really do. And sharing your knowledge. If you're cool with it, we'll do it again down the road. I'd love to have you back, and I know the people would love to hear some more of what you've got to say.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anytime, you know, anybody can hit me up on Twitter, and I mean, you can ask me questions, shoot me questions if I got time. You know, I mean, I got a day job too, but you know, I'm happy to help people out as long as they got good questions and they're not trying to troll me or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like help,
as long as it's.
As long as
they're not
players,
an asshole
like
and they're not trolling
players.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and for those of you listening,
start,
you know, don't.
Place.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want anybody out there who asks you a question and you give them an answer, and if a guy happens to stumble into an 0-for-4, you know, I don't want any keyboard warriors running over to their laptop, you know, blowing you up. You know, what's going on? You were talking up Billy Hamilton at the top of the lineup, and he went 0-for-5, blah, 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 blah. none of that, you know, take the advice and live with the results, good or bad. Luch, again, man, I want to thank you. This time I really am going to cut you loose. I've already kept you longer than I told you. We'll do it again. For those of you out there, his Twitter handle is TheLuch, L-O-O-C-H. Great stuff. And thanks again, buddy. We'll do it again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it, bud. See ya.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.